Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock. We will look ahead to the Titans and the Chiefs coming up with him. Looking forward to that here on the show. We got the Rob Rant coming up later this hour as well. College football playoff begins tonight. Alabama will take on Oklahoma, a rematch this time on the road for Alabama, taking on the Sooners. So that is the first game of the college football playoff. We've got three more coming tomorrow with Miami taking on Texas A&M, Tulane on the road at Ole Miss, and James Madison on the road in the nightcap taking on Oregon. And a lot of conversation about the matchups and how the seeding has fallen heading into this weekend. Nick Saban, Nashville Predators owner, was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, where he did discuss, the Nashville Predators purchase that he made, and he will be addressing the media here in Nashville coming up on Monday, so looking forward to that. He talked about the college football playoff and the fact that we're getting ready to watch James Madison and Tulane, and he really kind of focused in on James Madison here, taking on Oregon. This is what Nick Saban had to say on the Pat McAfee show yesterday.
Look, would we allow the winner of the AAA Baseball League, the International League, whatever they call it, I don't even know the name of it, would you let them in the World Series playoffs?
I don't think they do.
No,
no, I don't think
they do. No, they don't, but I'm saying, but that's the equivalent of what we do when JMU gets in to the college football playoff and Notre Dame doesn't.
So that is what Nick Saban had to say yesterday. He made the comparison to AAA baseball. Now, I don't know that I didn't necessarily buy that comparison, but we got a college football playoff beginning this weekend, and we got two games in the first round where there's no excitement for it because everybody knows it's going to be a bloodbath. I mean, Ole Miss is a 17.5-point favorite in their rematch with Tulane. We've already seen them play once this year. Oregon and James Madison. Oregon is a 3-touchdown favorite in a playoff game heading into the weekend. So, look, Paul, I realize that this year is a little bit of an extreme because the ACC was so bad this year that the 5 automatic conference championship bids fell in a way where 2 group of 5 teams are in this year in Tulane and James Madison. So I understand that that formula is not going to shake out every year. But it's a joke that we've got 2 group of 5 teams in the 12-team playoff, and you've got a team like Notre Dame sitting at home. And look, I'm no Notre Dame apologist. Notre Dame, their schedule wasn't very good, and they played a couple of good teams this year that they lost to, and sometimes that's just what happens. So I'm not necessarily even approaching this trying to defend Notre Dame. But it's a problem when you've got 4 games on college football's opening week of the college football playoff, and you will be stunned if 2 of them are approaching the fourth quarter with the game in any serious jeopardy or doubt at all. I think it's a massive problem, and I don't know why we cannot come up with a system where you just rank the top 12 teams and seed them that way. That's not going to happen. They're not going to do it. There's too much belly aching that goes on about it, and people want all this access, so I know it's not going to happen, but I will be stunned if Tulane or James Madison are ever in a position to make this game truly in doubt coming up this weekend, and that's a shame.
I mean, 1, symbolically in is fine. 2 is ridiculous. Here's another beef from me. I mean, great, we've got a good primetime one tonight with Alabama, Oklahoma at 7 o'clock our time. Tomorrow, though, I mean, I understand at Oregon has to be late, but why would you have Tulane at Ole Miss at 2:30 and Miami at Texas A&M at 11 a.m.
Yep.
You got to flip those and get the better game later in the day. I mean, tomorrow by 2:30, it's done.
Yeah.
And then you got back-to-back blowouts. So the scheduling is very poor as well. Now,
I guess they're trying to avoid the NFL.
Well, there's an NFL game tomorrow night, at least opposite James Madison and Oregon. But you could put Miami, Texas A&M as the like make it a doubleheader with the NFL game.
Well, you've got Eagles Commanders tomorrow too.
Oh, there are
4 o'clock. Right. But again, like I understand when you're looking at this ahead of time, Eagles Commanders seems like a good game. Eagles Commanders is not going to be a good game.
I mean, no, but an NFL game will draw.
It will.
So I mean, that gives you, you know, you got Miami, Texas A&M, and then 2 NFL games. It just sucks because all year you're anticipating that this college football playoff is going to be something, and then the first round is loaded with the 17.5 point spread for Ole Miss and a 20.5 point spread for Oregon, and nobody's looking at those spreads saying, "No, too big." I mean, if you're betting those games, you're betting on the favorites, aren't you? I am.
Yeah. Well, and also, like,
those games are on TNT.
Those games are on TNT.
And then it's surprising. Like college basketball, yeah, where you have to go find a game. No True TV?
It says TNT / True TV.
They couldn't get on True TV?
It's on both.
You can find it on either one. True TV, TNT.
Who's the cruise for that?
I have no idea.
That's objectionable.
I have no idea.
I mean, it's not like they're on simultaneously. If the 4 games were on simultaneously, then you got to go to True TV.
Exactly.
When they're on by themselves, they should be on ESPN or ABC.
Yeah. Well,
isn't this ESPN property?
Yeah, I mean,
so what do they got going on?
Don't know. It's a great question.
I think they're using some of the ESPN announcers.
Oh, great.
On TNT? That's
on good. TNT.
Yeah, but why on earth is it on TNT?
I have no idea.
I mean, these ratings are going to be, you know, are people going to find the James Madison game on TNT?
I don't think
tomorrow?
So. I mean, both the NFL games tomorrow are on Fox. So it's not like, you know, ESPN has got some NFL game in its place. And the other part of this, look, and you know, I'm excited to a certain degree to watch Alabama or Oklahoma tonight.
Should be good.
You know, it should be good. Hopefully.
I think Alabama's going to screw it up by either winning big or losing big.
Yeah. Well, in Oklahoma, they're not a ton of fun to watch because their offense is not that great. They play great defense, which is great. But the other part of that is they've already played this year.
Yeah, like the rematch factor.
The rematch
sucks.
Part of this is not good.
I mean, Tulane Ole Miss.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen, and you know, I understand just because a game is played out a certain way earlier in the year doesn't mean it's going to play out that way later. I mean, look, we see rematches all the time in the NFL and the division, so I understand that. But, you know, they, I think in the past, have made pretty conscious efforts to avoid the rematch, and sometimes you can't avoid it. I get that, but here we are with 2 of them in the first round, including one that was an absolute dud of a game.
Yeah, we don't need to see college football games a second time if it's at all avoidable. It's not the NFL. You don't, you know, the potential for matchups you haven't seen before is great. And I think America definitely would rather see things they haven't seen recently before, particularly in a blowout scenario.
Yeah. Oh, and, you know, like I said, this is a bit of an extreme in terms of the way that the conference champions shook out and the ACC screwed it up this year. But if this goes the way I think it's going to go, and we're talking on Monday about Ole Miss beating Tulane by 25 and Oregon beating James Madison by 30, then I think what we're going to hear in the offseason is all these college football decision makers who – just basically play football in the fall and then find stuff to complain and change in the offseason. All you're going to be hearing these guys talk about is, we got to find a way to get the Group of 5 out of the playoff. And I know some people, Joe, will hate that. But, man, like Tulane and James Madison tomorrow, you better keep it close, because if not, that's what the conversation's going to be.
Or I would say, if you're in a situation where you're putting 2 in, have them play each other.
Yeah.
And then one of them advances to have a chance against one of the big dogs. Or, you know, if you're going to – and I understand the case for letting a little guy in. I'm a little guy, but I'm not a blowout guy. So, you know, maybe have them play each other to be the best Group of 5 school and give some cred to that. Make that a big game, a big bowl game, and they get a special trophy. But the fact is they're not going to be a national champion. So, you know, do we want competitive games or not? I do. I want competitive games above all else. So basically, we get to this weekend that everybody is all fired up about, and you get here and you say, all right, well, give me next weekend.
Yeah, pretty much. 615-737-1025.
Let's expand the playoffs. How about that?
Yeah, let's add more of these. Let's get more of these games.
And start it earlier.
Yeah, start it. That's the thing. Let's start the college football season a little bit earlier. 615-737-1025.
This could have been last weekend, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, last weekend's a nothing weekend. Everybody wants to talk Army-Navy. I mean, I understand the pageantry of Army-Navy and everything. You could play Army-Navy on Friday night or whatever. Find a spot for Army-Navy. I don't want to disrespect Army-Navy. But also, people don't care about Army-Navy. The reason people care about Army-Navy is because there's nothing else on.
That is a very valid point. We have more on the college football front to get into. We'll get back into the Titans a little bit later this hour as well. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. We'll have the Rob rant coming up a little bit later in the
exciting.
Program.
Exciting.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Getting your thoughts on the college football playoff. David in Arkansas says, what's the purpose of a bye week when they start the playoffs 2 weeks after the season ends? Get rid of the conference championships since they don't even consider those in their discussions. Anyway, make that weekend the first weekend of the playoff. No need to drag this stuff out. Well, see, the problem with that is, they don't consider the conference championships until they do, right? Like they've got, you know, they didn't consider it when Alabama lost, but they consider it with some of these other matchups.
Matters for the Heisman.
It matters for the Heisman. Like so.
But it is like 2 weeks off. But yeah. The purpose of a bye week is, you know, give kids some time to take exams technically and allow teams to prepare for playoffs. It's not an unreasonable thing. Seasons should start earlier, you know, and between the and 2 weeks off there does seem like a lot with the conference championship week and then the bye week. They could tighten the schedule, start it earlier, tighten the schedule, finish the season earlier. They've got to sort out also the transfer portal timing so to avoid this whole Lane Kiffin thing where. Yep. You know, hopefully guys could finish their season with their team, even if they're going all the way to the national championship game, and then start building rosters after that.
Do we have anybody that we are pulling for to win the national championship that's within the world of realism? Like, I don't want either one of you saying James Madison. I mean, I guess you can say whatever you want, but do we have anybody that we're pulling for in the college football playoff here?
Go ahead, Ian.
I kind of thought Indiana, just because, you know, they're such a perennial no-name football program.
Yep.
To see them win would be kind of cool. Their coach, I don't know, kind of seems like a jerk, though. I think I might be kind of rooting for Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm going.
You know, just because, like, stick it to them. The Kiffin thing when he left and just kind of feel bad at the whole situation.
Yeah.
I kind of like to see Ole Miss make a run.
It would be kind of hilarious if Ole Miss wins the national championship when he leaves. It would be pretty funny.
Kiffin would still be taking, you know, such
victory
joy
laps
and
credits
credit for it. So that would be a little bit difficult for me, though. I would like it for the kids. I think I would like to see, them, or I would like to see Texas Tech just out of nowhere, you know. I mean, yep. They're not out of nowhere. They've obviously had a good season. But nobody's picking Texas Tech, right?
No.
The buying roster thing is a little wishy-washy to some people.
Yeah, well, but that's football now.
That's what it is now. But I'm with you, Ian. Like, part of me is like, man, they just spent, like, just gobs of money on their roster. And then to be immediately rewarded with a national championship for that bothers me. But that also is what college football is now. Like, it's just that's going to be what it is. I mean, Ohio State won the national championship last year, and they had $20 million on their roster.
I'll go the other way. Teams that I absolutely do not want to see win. Ohio State, no thank you.
Yep.
Georgia, absolutely not. That Kirby Smart running up the sideline calling timeout and then saying, no, I was clapping my hands. That alone. Indiana, I'd be okay with. A&M, I mean, I just the previous coach and hearing that they were the greatest recruiting school in the history of mankind and doing nothing, if they got payoff now out of that, I'd be sickened by it for some reason.
I would like to see Marcel Reed make a little bit of a run. That'd be kind of fun.
I can't root for A&M for no other reason than this.
The Yale team
that they've got.
Me too. It's so cultish and weird. It kind of freaks me out. Miami, there's just something that I feel like they're second tier and don't deserve it. Ole Miss, I'd be all right because I'd like to see success for the people that were screwed over by Kiffin, but I don't like the fact that Kiffin would get joy out of it. JMU and Tulane, no chance. Oklahoma, no, because Oklahoma people would be insufferable. Alabama, for the same reason.
Oh, yeah.
Oregon, I mean,
I'd be all right with Oregon.
I'd be all right with Oregon. Oregon deserves at some point to win.
I'd be all right with Oregon.
They're probably the biggest top seed that I'd probably be okay with winning.
Indiana.
I would like to see the uniforms they wear in the national championship.
Yeah, I would too.
They've clearly got something like under wraps
for
the ultimate game.
Indiana feels to me like the team that, like, right now, you know, they're relatively new into this, right? Like, I know they were good last year, but they're kind of the new shiny toy. You know, Mendoza.
I would like
is kind
to
of the
Indiana.
Dorky kid that, you know,
no
people
one
love.
Hates Indiana,
yeah, nobody
right?
hates Indiana, but I say that to set this up. Indiana, if they keep this up, like if they keep winning, Cignetti is the type of guy and type of coach that I could see people around the country like hating this time in, you know, a year or two from now.
But in this, let them build up to the hate.
Yeah.
You know who would be insufferable with that is Andrew Rising.
Yes.
So that gives me a little pause.
I think we just talked Paul out of Indiana there. Just to hit the brakes.
No, I mean, there are a lot of teams I really hate here, so Indiana isn't one.
I think Oregon's my answer. Now that we've sorted through it, I think Oregon is the team that I'm rooting for. I can find some flaws with other ones, like, you know, Texas Tech, the roster stuff. It's like, man, you guys just kind of bought your team.
The
Phil
Nike thing kind of rubs me a little
off
sometimes.
He's kind of always been there, and they've been in the conversation for so long and have never won it. And besides, like, you know, Marcus Mariota, who Joe thinks I hate, would get some great joy out of it.
It's so funny, though, like the things that – I don't know if you guys have this, but the things that flash in my head when we mention these schools, like you guys say Oregon – and I just automatically, it's like gray and rainy in my head. And that doesn't bring me any joy whatsoever. So it's like the volume. I think about it, and I'm like, yeah. And then that image comes into my head, and the volume gets turned down to
four. Just think highlighters.
Four.
Highlighter uniforms.
Yeah.
They'll perk you back up.
The uniforms just exhaust me.
Hey, it's going to be sunny tomorrow in Eugene, Oregon.
Okay. Well, that changes
sunny
everything.
Sunny in 49.
That exception changes everything. Don't the uniforms exhaust you? It's just like
you turn
on the TV and you have to, like, you have to study the uniform
before
the game to get used to.
You never know what they're going
to
wear.
Yeah. And how do they come up with a new one, like, every week? It's just, it's very tiring.
I mean, the catalog.
How old do I sound?
Well, the catalog that they've got with these uniforms, it's got to be just so deep. Like, how do
you go to a family reunion and you look through the photo albums? That's like if you go to Oregon, the kid sits down and like, hey, we're going to leave you in this room for an hour to look through these albums of the uniforms that we've worn over the year. We'll check back. And the kids probably love it.
I'm sure they do.
Oh, like, man, that thing you wore in 98.
Yeah.
And that road game at Oregon State, those were beautiful.
I mean, they've had some that
I like it. Sometimes.
I feel like they should probably lean in on and recycle more than they do. But I mean, their thing forever was we're never wearing the same uniform combination twice. It's like, well, you guys are going to run out of some options at some point, right?
I would think. I mean, God bless the idea people there. And look, that's their thing, and kids love that. So I don't begrudge them. I just it's for the youth.
It is. We'll see if they can handle James Madison coming up tomorrow.
I think they can handle.
He's probably
gonna
be
all right.
They
could start their second string and handle. And I think we'll probably see that second
string in
the second half.
That very well might happen. 615-737.
There's an underrated thing of these playoffs. Think, you know, for Oregon and for Ole Miss, you would think in a playoff run, your second stringers aren't getting a lot of time. But for these teams, their second stringers are always going to be able to say, in our playoff run, man, I played.
Yeah, maybe you've scored
a third
touchdown.
Stringers. Yeah. Hey, I played too.
It's a truly team effort. for Ole Miss and Oregon heading into the playoff. Is it crazy to think that the Tennessee Titans might have a good shot of taking down Kansas City this weekend? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. If you're looking for a great spot to pregame on Sunday before the Titans game, stop by John Bon Jovi's pregame with 102.5 The Game. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer, cocktails, and stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. Pregame show brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works and Old National Bank. Titans taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. Paul, the Chiefs in unfamiliar territory. Number one, they've been eliminated from the playoffs. And number two, their quarterback's out with a torn ACL. So it's going to be the Gardner Minshew show coming up on Sunday here in Nashville for the Chiefs. I've said it this week. I'm really interested to see the level of give a darn that the Chiefs have in this game. And if it's as low as I suspect it may be, is it crazy to think that the Tennessee Titans have a pretty good shot of winning this game at home? I think the spread is 3 points, and we're going to get into our picks for that a little bit later in the show. But I am very fascinated to see what version of the Kansas City Chiefs we get now that Mahomes is out, they're eliminated from the playoffs, and seemingly nothing to play for.
Well, the Chiefs aren't great to start with. They weren't great with Mahomes. They're not a super talented team. Kelsey's on the downswing here, probably going into his last three games. They're not nearly as dynamic. And, yeah, the air is out of the sails. So, you know, it's hard to predict something like how their want to is going to measure up. But I think, you know, if you're doing the compare contrast and giving the green check marks, I think in the want to column, I would check mark Tennessee. Played better lately, particularly offensively. Gardner Minshew is 4-2 against the Titans. His teams are. He's thrown 8 touchdowns against 2 interceptions in those games. And the problem is the Titans secondary. You don't know what's going on at safety here. Kendall Brooks probably starting next to Amani Hooker. That's a problem. So if Gardner Minshew and his receivers are able and Andy Reid is able to scheme against that, that could be a big, big problem. If the Titans and Denard Walker can come up with a way to cover for that, and the corners obviously aren't very good, and the Titans can score, and they've been scoring, they've scored 55 points in the last 2 weeks, the most in consecutive games in a season. They did this in December last year. They scored 70-something in back-to-back games. I think they could be right there. And you and I were saying off the air when we got in that we both kind of have a feeling. How much would this piss off some Titans fans who are the draftniks if the Titans beat the Chiefs in what everybody will call a quote-unquote meaningless game, because any game that's played without playoff implications has zero meaning, according to draftniks. I think the Titans have a chance this weekend. I know saying have a chance doesn't sound like much. With this team, saying it has a chance is something. I also think they have a chance next weekend. I know New Orleans has been playing better, but that's not a great team by any means. Titans are heading into two games where they have, I think, a legitimate chance to win before getting to Jacksonville, which is probably going to need that game for, if not the division, for playoff positioning.
Yeah, like I think the only thing on the give a darn meter for Kansas City that I wonder about in terms of maybe we're going to see some of that is, like, if deep down, if you're on that team, and either you know because he's told you, which I don't think he has, or you got a pretty good idea that Travis Kelce's reaching the end here. Like, don't you kind of want to finish strong for him? And I know they're not going to the playoffs, and, you know, he was on his podcast this week talking about that, and, you know, it's the NFL. It's a privilege to play in the NFL. You got to finish strong, saying all the right things, all those things. But if you're on that team and you've got a pretty good idea that he's retiring at the end of this, does that kind of keep you in the fight? That could be really the only thing I I can think of.
I think it keeps you in the fight for the finale. You want to send him off for a big game at the end for his capper. But I don't know if between being eliminated from the playoffs and losing your quarterback and the final game of the season, you're saying, hey, let's rally for Travis here. So it's going to be interesting. The other thing that's funny, you know, it's just the way things and it's the unpredictability of the league, right? Titans didn't have a great home schedule this season by any means. And the one game they put a feather in when they're looking to, do this dynamic pricing. They only had one game they felt was worthy of putting a star on and putting heavier prices on. Now, it doesn't matter for a season ticket holder because it all comes out, you know, in one big price.
Right.
But for individual games, this game is the expensive game. And it's not worth anything more than the Saints next week right now. So I wonder if that has any kind of bearing or if it just means people are taking a bath in the secondary market. But there's nothing special to see here unless you're a fan of you know, finding the Andy Reid lookalike in the crowd.
That's true.
If he shows up or seeing Kelsey or any Taylor Swift watch. I don't think that she's going to be here to see Trav, but I guess there's some intrigue connected to that.
I mean, the good news is if you're going to the game, I mean, it's mid-December. It's going to be like 55 degrees on Sunday. You can't ask for a whole lot better than that.
You said next week there's no chance of a white Christmas?
No, it's going to be 70 degrees on Christmas. That's what they say, 70 degrees.
Go out and shoot some hoop.
I'm all for it. Anytime we get in the 70s in December, sign me up for it.
So you're not you have no anticipation for a white Christmas?
No.
Not for your daughter?
Nope. She'd be fine. She'd rather be outside on the swing set anyway. It's all good.
She can swing in the snow.
She can. She can.
You would even clean off the seat for her, unlike the Bengals.
I think this is the saddest I've seen PK in a while when it comes to no chance for Christmas. Are you a big white Christmas guy? You waiting on it?
No, but and I'm not a fan of the cold at all, but if I would pick one day in the year for it to be cold enough for it to snow, it would be Christmas.
You're not getting it this year, my friend. 72.
I'm not sad about that. To be honest, I'm sad that I'm soon to be covering a coaching search. I think that's where my sadness is. And
I've got a lot of time prepared for this coaching search.
I've got classes start. Belmont finishes early and starts early, so classes start right as the coaching search starts. So there's 100% that like right as my 3 hours of classes start on a Tuesday afternoon, the coach will be hired. Just no doubt. And then like 2 days later, he'll be introduced during my class.
Now, I remember when Callahan got hired, there was a Predators game going on. And I looked down the row. I was like, oh, cool, Gentry's here. And like, I think Joe was there that night and all these other people were here. I was like, there's packed house for the Predators game tonight. And then like 6:40, they hired Brian Callahan and everybody just left. I was like, well, I'm the only one. We're back.
Exclusive news from Robert Stan.
Everybody just walks out. Got to go to Brian Callahan. So, yeah.
They didn't introduce him that
No,
night,
they just hired
people
him.
Just
yeah.
went.
They just went. They had to go right.
Wrote, yeah.
yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you may be onto something there.
Well, now Monday, the Predators have all the attention when their new owner talks.
They do.
Their new owner. We'll talk about that more, I hope.
We will. Well, we'll see if Tony Pollard can keep it up for the third consecutive game and if the Titans can run the ball against Kansas City. I mean, it's been pretty crazy to watch how different it looks with him specifically running the ball the last couple of weeks compared to the rest of the season. I know, you know, in the Cleveland game he got it 25 times, and he's not really approached that all year. But if they do it for the third game in a row, I will be very impressed by the Titans' sudden turnaround in the running game.
I had like 5 good minutes with Peter Skoronski in my podcast yesterday talking about this, and I don't think people really picked up on it as much as I have. And it's kind of self-evident. But, you know, I asked him after the Jaguars game which was miserable, right? They lost, what, 22-3?
25-3, yeah.
25-3. They looked as if they did not care. And I asked him in the locker room after that game, show me evidence that you guys give a bleep. And he gave a good answer. But that's where the video that I posted got a lot of flack because Arden Key was cackling in the background.
Yeah.
And so everybody was like, as he gives you a good answer to this, the noise in the background suggests that people are not taking it seriously.
Yep.
But the week after that in the locker room, after they won in Cleveland, he was answering questions. It wasn't my question, but he said, I think this shows a lot of give a bleep. And he kind of looked at me.
Yeah.
You know, gave me a side eye, like, you know.
Have some of that.
He responded to that. And I get along well with Peter. And he went on to say, and then Latham and Moore both kind of confirmed that was a turning point for them, the Jaguars game. They were so disgusted with their performance there, and that week they really talked about being determined, obviously, to stop Myles Garrett, but as a way to stop Myles Garrett, to run the football and to be determined. Now, why they didn't flip that switch somewhere else earlier in the season and all of that remains in question.
Yeah.
But if they can carry this forward for another 3 weeks and end with a 5-week identity of being a line that can push people, can run the ball, can protect the quarterback. It's the identity we wanted for them. It's the identity we expected for them. It's late arriving, but it carries into the offseason. It gives the new coach something. It suggests that maybe there's, you know, I don't know. We're expecting at least 2 changes on that offensive line. Maybe it means you're more likely to stick with Cushenberry because things have come around. And then you only have to – I don't think you'd stick with Zeitler even so, but yep. You'd want that line continuity, right? And those guys could go into the offseason and say, hey, finally at the end, we figured it out and we are something.
Yep.
And again, I know there's a lot of turnover and stuff, but 4 of those 5 guys could be back. And they'd have something to carry into. Now you got to start it again. You got to do it again. You're going to have a new coach, coordinator, offensive line. But those guys would be inheriting something that has some kind of identity and success instead of what they had coming out of the Jaguars game.
Let's quickly head to the phone line. Welcome in Trey to the program. Trey, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hey, I just wanted to say, I've been hearing reports that Cam Ward want to be in on the coaching search. And through the, you know, y'all program and then other programs, I've been reading a little bit. I believe that he could do that, but will it really transform his play on the field? He's had 2 coaches. He's is that really going to be, you know, the optimal thing that's going to change how he performs on the field? I don't think so. You know, I'm more worried about him performing on the field and getting more than 2 wins. And I hope that we win all of these games. I'm not on the lose every game trip like everybody else. I don't think that another coach is going to be able to come in here and teach Cam fundamental, basic fundamentals on how to do what he need to do on the field.
The new coach has no bearing on the quarterback?
I think that if you don't have basic skills, they're running the same plays. Each coach is running the same plays every Sunday, each coach on both sides. So if you can't run the plays, is it really the coach's fault?
Is going to have a plan for Cam Ward, run him through an offseason of very specific things that help him get better at those things. And if Cam Ward doesn't show improvement under that new coach, his coordinator, and his quarterback coach, the new coach will be a failure. Now, I'm not expecting that he's going to make Cam Ward first team all pro, but if he can't make Cam Ward better to a significant degree, it'll be a huge indictment of Cam Ward.
Yep. Let's quickly bring in Chad.
Coaches make players better. That's what they do. They coach them up. Go check on Drake May and what he did last year and what he did this year. Go check on Caleb Williams and what he did last year and what he did this year. What do you think happened in those two situations? Those guys just, like, woke up better?
Coaching has a lot to do with it. Chad, we got about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, continuing some of the conversation we had earlier this week, you know, I've been going through a little bit of history with you, Paul, and it just seems like you've kind of been fighting with every regime, whether it's Vrabel, of course, you know, your exchanges with Callahan, and then all the different players, looking at all the stuff you had with Lawan, and then digging into a couple of my connections, sports agents, trying to figure out kind of inside the scenes, what is these regimes, you know, Vrabel and their camp and the Titans players on respective years.
Chad, we got about 2 seconds. Do you have a question?
It just seems like your reputation is to create drama within the organization. And I'm wondering, is that your business tactic?
My reputation is that I hold people's feet to the fire and have them answer for what they do. And particularly the last 2 years, what they've done is lose consistently and not show any kind of plan for success. Lawan and I got along fine. Vrabel and I got along fine. When Vrabel was being curmudgeonly and a jerk, I called him on it.
There it is. 615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rob Rant coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
Come in here and kick Rabel's ass real quick.
You guys, just all of you, are so damn soft.
Olaf, and what's the sister name?
Elsa.
Elsa, what's the other one name?
Anna.
Anna. If I ever could choke some cartoon characters.
A pineapple? I have no idea what that means. Catch one stray pee-pee and...
I don't care, Paul. I'm going to yell and you're going to listen to it.
Did I talk to Michael?
Micah.
It kind of freaks me out.
Why are people still saying stupid crap like this?
Kristoff, all them. I'd kill them if I could.
Please don't kill Elsa.
It is time for the Rob Rant here on the program.
I take all this Edith Bunker talk this week as a real tribute to Rob Reiner.
Yes.
From Joe Rex Road. Tribute to Meathead.
Yeah, exactly.
Rest in peace.
Absolutely. He mentioned that earlier this week. I feel like he's been a little bit light on the Edith Bunker stuff this week. I think we need to lean a little bit more into it.
I saw some Meathead. I mean, I'm pretty familiar with All in the Family. And,
yeah. And especially my husband, Archie Bunker.
But I've seen some Meathead highlights this week that were just beyond stuff I remember that were so good. He was unbelievable in that show. The dynamic between him and Archie, something to behold. And so far ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Crazy if you think that was on network TV in the 70s.
All right, I'm going to go really quick here because we got to get to TD coming up. The Seattle Kraken on Tuesday lost to Colorado at home, 5-3. You know, everybody loses to Colorado, so there's really nothing to be ashamed of there. It was a good battle. They lost 5-3. And after the game, their coach, Lane Lambert, who used to be an assistant here under Barry Trotz, spent about a minute on the stage in the postgame, which the Seattle Kraken PR department permitted only the team employee to be able to ask a question after the game. So no independent media, only the team employee were able to ask questions, and they told the team employee to gather questions from other media if necessary, and he would be the one to ask them. So that happened on Tuesday. The press conference lasted about a minute, and then it was all done, at which Bob Condor, their editor-in-chief of the Kraken's official website, was the only one asking questions. The Kraken came out on Wednesday after receiving tremendous blowback on this and apologized for it, said, quote, the bottom line is it wasn't the right call at all. It was a mistake. It would never happen again, and it won't ever happen again. My question is, how did this happen to begin with? How do you possibly think that that's a good idea?
What were they so upset by?
Well, I don't know. Like, they're struggling. You know, they've hired – this is his first year as Kraken head coach. They're not very good. They're struggling. They lost again to a very good team, by the way, the best team in the NHL. So why that game in particular was the time where you decided to try something like this is beyond me. But just quickly, I've got two things. Like, if you're in PR and you ever thought that this was a good idea, I really question your thought process there. If what I suspect may be part of this, and that is it was the coach's idea and you're covering up for him, you have to be able to look your coach in the face and say, yeah, man, we cannot do that. Like, this cannot happen. And also, the independent media there, I understand that this probably took you by surprise. Don't stand for that in the moment. Don't sit there. Start asking questions anyway. You don't need to stand there and deal with that when the team says, oh, we're only taking team employee questions. Screw you. I'd start asking questions over the top of the team employee just out of spite at that point. So the whole thing totally screwed up. I know that they've come out with an apology since then, but it's kind of amazing in 2025 with as much investment level and as much media training and all these things that goes on that something like this could actually happen in one of the four major sports in our country.
Just goes to prove what I say all the time. People are incredibly soft.
Yeah.
So soft.
I couldn't believe that this took place in the National freaking Hockey League.
You guys, just all of you, are so damn soft.
Yeah.
Just keep that handy.
Keep it handy.
Very good.
Never know when you might need to use it. Teron Davenport will be with us coming up next. We'll get into all things Titans with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.